just the moment, the latest on Brother Don Blackwell. The last word that we got after his back surgery, his spinal cord was severed. So Don will probably be spending the rest of his life in a wheelchair. As far as where his back was going and how far his paralysis is, we do not know. But Don is an exceptional Christian, and he has faced a lot of tragedy in the last couple of years, especially with the passing of his in-laws, Frank Shepherd and his wife. And so we need to continue to keep them in our prayers. The lesson kind of takes Don to heart in some ways. The bulk of our text will be found in Philippians chapter 1. There are a couple other texts that we will be using. But we will be primarily in this first chapter. Life's design is for our fullest witness. Now, it might be hard to believe that, but it's true. God's providence and the glory that comes from it is often found in unexpected ways. Paul is a great example of that. Many of us know that when Paul was writing this letter to the Philippian brethren, that he was already imprisoned in Rome. And for a lot of people, that would have stopped them cold in their tracks. They would have taken on the defeatist attitude, and their work would cease at that point. But Paul's imprisonment brought forth an unexpected glory in the fact that it opened up a tremendous door of opportunity. Now, we understand Paul's imprisonment, at least the first two, was not in a regular jail, that he stayed in a rented house, but that he was chained to an imperial guard 24 hours a day. And I can imagine at this point Paul's delight in having, if you will, a revolving opportunity to share the gospel with the best of Caesar's guards. Now, we all know that Paul would never have had the opportunity to assemble all of these people in a worship service. But God's providence allowed him to be chained to one at a time, to be able to share the gospel message. In verses 13 and 14 of Philippians 1, Paul writes here, "My bonds in Christ is made known in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds, that they are all the more bold to speak the word without fear." The best that Rome could produce in the way of its soldiers had the responsibility of protecting Caesar. They were the best warriors. They were the most dedicated. They were the most patriotic. And they would give their lives for Caesar. And yet, God's message, His providence, allowed the palace to receive the gospel. And it was received by the means of a Christian who was confined to their jail. Paul had a choice. He could have sat in mute silence. He could have reflected back on all the great times he had in sharing the gospel message and his freedom. He could have just stayed there and mulled over his dilemma. But instead, Paul didn't look at those things. He did exactly anything that he could where he was at. For each of us, there is going to be a time in our life where we are going to know one kind of confinement or another. And chances are it's not going to be a prison cell. It may be a hospital bed. It may be some sort of a sick bed and where others are taking care of us. Opportunity does not stop because of that. Those who tend to come and treat us and to be near us can see and learn of the gospel message. We can share those things with him. I guess what we could say that Paul is saying here is that life can be one surprise party after another. If we only yield to the opportunities that God has provided, and that we can still, in our earthly limitations, find hidden glory. Confident faith, Paul speaks of his imprisonment in verse 19 of Philippians 1. I know that this will turn to my salvation. Now, he's not speaking of his salvation of his soul, but rather his own general well-being as far as being a servant of God. I believe that there was no doubt in Paul's mind that Paul knows that he is exactly where God wants him to be. Where would we be today without Paul's imprisonment? Look what would be missing from our Bibles. We would be missing the letters to the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians, Philemon, Timothy, Titus. We would be missing all those. All of these were written during Paul's imprisonment. If you want to know a secret of letting glory shine through any hardship, is to be a user of the circumstances rather than a prisoner of them. We can't stop and say, why did this happen? Instead, we should be asking, what does God expect us to do with the circumstances that we are enduring to further his kingdom? And we don't think like that oftentimes. We have the tendency to dwell in the negative and not look towards the positive. In verse 23 of Philippians chapter 1, Paul wrote, I'm between two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul is admitting here that he is on the horns of dilemma. But his dilemma is a rare one, because he's not sure which one he prefers, to live or to die. You're in a big city. You're walking down an alleyway. There's no doors on either side. There's no place to turn right or left. You can only go straight ahead or back up. When a situation you face is at the other end. This is like Paul. He's in a canyon. He's not got no place to turn. He expresses the only alternative, death, in words that speak of taking down a tent or lifting an anchor. Paul is telling us he's ready to pull up stakes and to journey beyond this realm. He's ready to lift anchor, to set sail for heaven's shores. In verse 21, he says, to die is gain. But he's finding fulfillment also in living in the world as Christ's servant. For me to live is Christ, in verse 21. Paul realizes and understands that glory is going to shine through because, in either case, he's going to be satisfied. He has enough faith in God to believe that whatever comes from his imprisonment, God can use it to his holy name. In verse 20, Paul says, "But Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Paul's desire is that his life will cause us to focus on Christ. He wants us to see that his life is a stage where Christ's glory is portrayed. This is the kind of faith that finds glory in unexpected places. During the great persecution of Christians, there were many in the Praetorian Guard who were also persecuted and martyred because they stood for Christ. In the Alps in the northern Italy, there was a group of soldiers that were to take and send Christians out on the ice and to break the ice so that they would drown in the icy waters. And several of the Roman soldiers who had become Christians took their place and died in their stead. This would not have happened without Paul and his boldness. There are many ways to judge a man's integrity. A great deal can be known about the man by the number of enemies on his list. And we don't go around intentionally making enemies, at least not for the fun of it, because there's no virtue in making enemies. And yet for Christians, friendship is an impossibility when it comes in contact with certain philosophies and practices that cut across the messages of the Scriptures and those people who advocate that behavior. The enemies that I speak of are those resulting when a Christian in the spirit of kindness takes a stand for the Lord that antagonizes the worldly crowd. I think we understand a bit, and some may have experienced, about sharing the gospel, what it has caused as far as an enmity between us and other people. 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 8 and 9, Paul, here he writes, "But I tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door of opportunity is opened for me." And then what does he say? "But there are many adversaries." I believe there's not a single one of us sitting here today that enjoys bearing the wrath of any person. And I think that because of that, it helps explain sometimes our reluctance to stand and fight against the wrong. It doesn't matter where you stand on I don't know, pick from a list of an arm long. The results are always going to be the same. Anytime that we oppose the devil and his crowd, it's going to cause trouble. But the easiest avenue for us to take is to close our eyes and pretend it never happened. And yes, this allows a peace to prevail, but it is a peace that we find in the cemetery. Progress in holiness and righteousness and spiritual maturity is always going to disrupt. It is always going to rock the boat. Always. And Paul did everything in his power to live in harmony with the world around him, short of compromising his Christian convictions. 1 Corinthians 9:22, it tells us that he tried to be all things to all men. If Paul's with a group of people that were vegetarians and they were against meat, he wouldn't eat meat for their sake. But he wouldn't compromise his beliefs one bit. He stood for them. And because he stood for his convictions, he created a long list of enemies. And he had many bruises to prove it. If enemies are made on the basis of adhering to the demands of the gospel, then they become an evidence of God's approval. Verse 28 of Philippians 1. Listen to what Paul says here. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You know, Robert Louis Stevenson had wrote that some people portray St. George fighting the dragon. And they made no attempt to slay him, but they tied a ribbon around his neck and said, "Nice kitty." Gave him a saucer of milk. You see, our warfare against evil is far more deadly. There is such a thing as being rich in enemies. And in our Christian walk, from the moment we've obeyed until the moment our feet hit the ground, we will encounter difficulties. Verse 29 of Philippians 1, Paul says, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." You realize that it was suffering that made God's glory available to us in the suffering of his Son. And our suffering points to the same glory. For Peter had written in 1 Peter 4 and verses 12 and 13, "Beloved, do not think strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you shall be revealed, and be the glad also, exceeding joy." You know, a while back I used a story or an account. It wasn't a story, it was an actual account that took place in the late 1930s during Italy's invasion of Ethiopia. And prior to that invasion by Mussolini's forces, there were several missionaries that penetrated the area of Wolamo, Ethiopia. And they had begun the task of evangelizing the locals. And slowly they were able, with conversing to these people back and forth, had were able to partially translate the book of Mark and a couple of other New Testament passages in their native dialect. But they were forced to flee in 1937 in the face of the Italian army. Now, the Italian army was brutal because at that point there was mass killings and they were using also poison gas on the Ethiopian forces. The missionaries were forced to evacuate and they left behind 18 baptized converts and some of the translations of certain portions of Scripture that they could read. These ones left behind were cruelly persecuted and harassed. They were either harassed by the Italians or the local natives. They were beaten. They were forced to live in hiding, and some were even martyred. 1942 came around. Italy's forces were repelled out of Ethiopia. Those and the German forces were retreating further north. The missionaries were able to return to that area. And they feared that there would be no Christians left. But what they found instead were not 18 Christians, but 10,000 Christians. Those 18 used their hardships to glorify God. God's providence. God's providence. God in His providence has chosen to give us a final reward beyond earth's portal. For mortal man, death is its greatest enemy. But for Christians, it is the final doorway to God's glory. A glory which is momentarily broken through during difficult times. And it will someday dawn upon us in all its radiant fullness in the most unexpected way, at least from the world's point of view, by our death. The Bible continues to say, be confident in this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1 and verse 6. Yes, there are many ways glory can come through unexpected ways. But just this one small example in the life of the Apostle Paul, he did not let the circumstances dictate his behavior. He did not give in to them, but Paul used those circumstances to continue to teach and to further the kingdom, to allow God's glory to continue to shine. And that opportunity is also presented to each of us in those times that we face. And I pray that we will always pray for the wisdom to know when those circumstances and opportunities arise. And instead of closing a blind eye, we open them fully and take things head on with all confidence and strength and zeal. If you're not a Christian tonight, we want to give you the opportunity to obey the gospel. That through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with repentance and confession and baptism, you can become a child of God, an heir of salvation. You can become sons of God. That your inheritance will be the same as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we can reside with Him forever and ever. If there's anyone here this evening who needs to make amends with God, you've done things that you know has not pleased God, and you need in a public way to repent of those things, or maybe you just need to come and ask the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity also this evening. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.